on the floor or wherever you like. Just be comfortable. Danny has been to America and has had some encounters with God, and I just asked Dan if he would come and just share with him what God has shown him and what God opened his understanding to. Let's welcome our brother back.
Cool. Hey, everyone. So this is kind of more of a personal testimony of what the Lord did with me. I had the honor and privilege of going to America and being with some friends of mine that I've connected with through David's Tent and other stuff I've been involved with. So I was in North Carolina and then went over to California, which was great. It was sunny as well, which is cold. It's cold here. I had two expectations going into the trip. It wasn't enough for me just to have a beach holiday and just kind of rock up at an ocean and just chill out. And I mean, I did that, but that wasn't kind of what I wanted to do. I had two expectations going on the trip, was that I would be closer to the Lord when I came back, and that I'd have a clearer sense of what the Lord was calling me to in my life when I returned. And they're kind of two pretty important things, really, really, like two fundamental things. And as I was kind of going, you have like a certain tendency when you have those expectations, you go and you expect the places that you go or the people that you meet to kind of hand that to you on a plate. And it's funny, like humans can be so, we want something tangible and visceral, and we want something that we can like grab a hold of and say, yeah, that's my answer. And it was funny with this experience because the Lord just took me on a journey from beginning to end. And it was so interesting because I had put a lot of my hope in the places I was going to go to, Bethel, California, or down at the farm with Johnny and Melissa Helser. And I was just kind of, I had a lot of hope in them providing me with an answer. And I ended up having some of the greatest kind of encounters and moments with the Lord just on my own, which is interesting. And the cool thing about that was I just sensed that the Lord was kind of showing me that, you know, the reason, even the decision to have the expectation that I would be closer to Him and that, to have intimacy with Him was enough, you know. And that all I needed to do was steward my own heart, and all I needed to do was cultivate that desire inside myself. And so when I would go to these places, it wasn't the atmosphere and it wasn't the surroundings that drew me closer to the Lord. I mean, it was great to be in family. It was great to be in environments of, you know, what I was in and rub shoulders with the people I was with. But it was Him, and it was my decision to draw closer to Him that kind of defined my trip. And He did that in incredible ways. Some of them are just personal things for me that I won't share. But one amazing thing was that, if we take the first expectation to mind, was that I wanted to be closer to Him. And I can honestly say that both things happened, but certainly the first one happened in an amazing way, because he really showed me that I'm beautiful to Him, which is cool. And you can kind of miss it, and it can be a cliche, or you can kind of like go over that. And because we think He's beautiful, but we don't always expect us to be beautiful in some ways, you know. And He really showed me in my trip that I was His masterpiece, and we are all His masterpiece. And it was cool because I did this trip as I was just like, I had a lot of time in the car. I did this Pacific Highway up to California. So I took from like the LA area all the way up the coast. And there's this area like called Big Sur, and basically it's like this cliff. And it's kind of like this terrain. They do a lot of car adverts on it. And there's just ocean on one side and these beautiful hills on the other. And I was driving up and I had tons of time in the car. It was the longest drive I've ever done in my life. It was 14 hours, but it just felt like two. It was crazy because of the time with the Lord and time with the scenery. And so as I was kind of driving, obviously the Lord had kind of already been preparing my heart, and I'd felt like an intimacy with him and his presence and stuff and worshiping in the car. But I got to this one bit and I was just taking photos the whole time, and there was this incredible sunset. I timed it so that as I was driving, I would hit this sunset as it was going down, and I would see the ocean, and then it would kind of reflect off the mountains and stuff. And I was already crying before he'd spoken to me. Like, I was in the car thanking the Lord for the trip and the people that I've met before he'd even spoken to me. But I was just driving. I was like, God, this is your canvas. This is your masterpiece. This is stunning. Like, the sky lit up red. Like, there was blue sky above me. Like, the sea was perfect. The sea was reflecting the sunset. My iPhone photos weren't doing it justice. And it was like, it was lit, like it was heaven on earth. And what you need to understand is that I'm a British boy, and we don't have that kind of scenery in my world, in our country. And so this moment for me blew my box. It was like more beautiful than anything I've ever met or anything I've ever seen. And there's different scenery in South Africa and other places, but in Britain, we don't get this. And so I was like, oh, my word. And I remember, like, in the car, I parked the car up. There was this vista point, got out of the car, and was right on the edge of the cliff, which is fun. And I was like, you know, and just looking out and just in tears, just crying. And I was already crying before he said this to me. He said, you think this is beautiful? You are more beautiful to me than this. And I broke down, literally. I was a mess. Because here I am looking at the beauty of God, and there he is staring back at me and saying that you're more beautiful than this. And I was wrecked. Really wrecked. And we so often look at God, and we always should. But I was asking the Lord for a deeper sense of intimacy with him and a deeper sense of knowing him and understanding his heart. And that intimacy was so easy, knowing that I was beautiful to him. And he basically gave me this journey of romance from beginning to end. It sounds weird being a bloke, but there's a difference between someone saying they love you and someone saying you're beautiful to me. Because when someone says that you're beautiful to me, it kind of takes the choice out of it, and you kind of get the you're beautiful to me. Like, in this moment, you have undone me. You look stunning to me. I am compelled by you. I love you so much. Instead of, I love you. You know, I love you. I get I love you. And I think it's awesome, and it obviously has its place. But in that moment, hearing the words, you are more beautiful to me, meant more to me than I love you. Or it meant more to me than anything else. And I was in that place, just being romanced by God. Just undone by his love for me. But I just got on my knees. There were other people around, but I was just like on my knees and just crying out to the Lord and just saying, Father, forgive me. Like, I was really convicted in my heart for different things that I don't need to go into, but I was like, God, I almost felt like I was having a visitation with God. And in that moment, it all kind of made sense that the reason I was having that, and that was like the first expectation, that the closeness and the intimacy with the Lord. The second one was, what is my purpose? And in that moment, it all made sense. And for me, that moment was what I needed to bring people into. That encounter was something that the Lord has. He doesn't change that. He hasn't changed his view from me to you or from you to me. It's the same for everyone. The bride of Christ, irrespective of how messy it is, and it is messy in parts, is still so beautiful to him. And as he is so beautiful to us, and the worship was amazing tonight, we were just talking about how we ask for more so much, and we can be so selfish, but he's paid it all on the cross. It was such a beautiful sacrifice that he made for a beautiful bride that we are. But we can so often look at ourselves and think we're so unworthy, and it was that, it was his voice and his identity that he said in those words that totally changed my life, totally changed the definition of what I was. And it was interesting that moment on my own in the middle of nowhere in California was my defining moment, and not the people that I met and the shoulders I'd rubbed with. It was that moment with me and my Father, and the expectation I had to cultivate in my own heart are drawing to him and going after him. And it was what Les was doing right at the start of our meeting tonight. It was a, right, come on, guys, we're all in this together. Let's cultivate this worship. Let's do it. And there's no difference. There's no difference in that thing. And in that moment, the second expectation was fulfilled in that I was like, my life needs to be a vessel to bring people into that encounter, you know, of you know, them knowing their identity and knowing what the Father says of them and what he speaks of them and what he, you know, what his love, his affection is towards them, as well as our affection towards him. And yeah, so there's a whole bunch of other stuff, and you can maybe ask me, you know, in person, and I could sit down with a coffee and chat with you about it. But that's what I felt like the Lord shared with me to tell you guys tonight. Can I pray with him? So, because I received that, that's my testimony, it's my story, I want to release it on you guys. So, Father, I thank you for everyone here in our family. Father, I thank you that we could be anywhere in the world, but your moments and your encounters are still the same, and you're the same God everywhere, and you're the same God tonight as you were in California. And Father, I thank you for your gaze. I thank you for your affection towards us. I thank you that when we hear that one thing, that our whole world changes, and we come away from strife, and we come away from the messiness of life, and we embrace that we're not perfect, but you love us and you accept us and you think we're beautiful. And Father, we say thank you tonight, and we just ask that you would, and I ask right now, that you would unleash that on every single person here. That is maybe even for some that have just been running after you so hard and they just feel like they're hitting bricks. Father, I pray you would release right now an intimacy, right now an intimacy and a definition, a release of identity of who they are. That you would say to every girl in here that she is beautiful, that you find her beautiful, that you'd say to every man in here, irrespective of what he thinks of it, that you would find him beautiful, that you would love him, that you would want to spend time with him. So, Father, I just release that word over this family tonight. And, Father, I thank you for the completion, Father, that you would solidify every single part of it, every single part of the word. And, Father, that whether that takes 3 weeks to outwork, 3 months, 3 years, Father, I pray that tonight will be the initiation for it. Tonight will be the launch pad of that definition of identity. And Father, I pray that our heart cry, that our expectation and our cultivation of knowing you and wanting more of you in our lives would initiate and be burning more tonight than it ever would be. That Father, we would understand that we have power in our decisions, that we have power in what we believe. And Father, we can run after you, and we don't need to let the past failures or hope deferred make us sick and stop what we're pursuing after you. And Father, I pray that people would go beyond that, and they will draw close to you, even their beds tonight, in the word tonight, Father, in the worship, in the response time. I pray that they would understand that their decision can change everything, that one encounter with you can change everything. And Father, I pray that you would lift their gaze, that you would lift up their heads, that their eyes would see you, that would know the true reflection of who you are and not how we've made you to be. And tonight we would see you as a loving Father, as a like an almighty God, the almighty God that says that we're beautiful. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Dan. That's brilliant. That's so good. What Danny's just said, it just made me think of something which I think is so, so significant for us as a group of people. Most of us have come a journey through our lives and had various church experiences, and we've picked up in our mind an idea of what it means to follow God and who God is and what God expects of us. And so much of us have got bits and pieces of baggage we've picked up along the way, and we've had people with the best intention in the world, but just damaging in some ways the things they say to us, that leaves things in us. And what we end up with is some expectation that God is angry with us, that God's disappointed with us, that we just never can do enough to in any way make God vaguely satisfied with us. that he has no desire whatsoever to even have a relationship with us, that we have to perform for him before he's even going to acknowledge that we're alive. And I'm just so thrilled for Dan because, you know, we've walked a journey, the two of us, since Dan moved to London. And before Dan came here, I was walking on my own journey of, I just realized that for the whole of my ministry, I have never understood that my Father loves me. I'm my Heavenly Father, and that I'm acceptable, even vaguely interesting to him. And what that produces in us is just a desire to go through the motions of doing what we think he expects us to do, and trying to play this game and live up to somebody's expectation around you constantly, and say all the right things, and sound like you're full of faith and all those things. But really inside, what most of us are just crying out for that revelation that Dan had. Father, I need to know that you find me beautiful. You know, we could say God loves me, and as Dan said, yeah, God has to love you. He decided to do that. But to find you beautiful and attractive, which is an object of his desire, and his desire to look at you and look at you with love in his eyes, that's a different thing altogether. That's saying that you have value. Despite everybody from the school system you started out at, your parents with their best intentions, but also messed up sometimes, and all the stuff which put baggage in our lives, and here we are at the age of whatever we are, and we're still playing this game, and we're saying, I have to live up to somebody's expectation, including God's, and if I miss that, then I've blown the whole thing. And, you know, God set such a high standard, I'll probably never make it anyway. And, you know, we live this life of pretense. And I got, over the years since we've been in London, I got so tired of pretending. I got so tired of making people think that I was okay. And that had nothing to do with my deep desire to make the Father think I was okay. Because I was convinced the Father thought I was definitely not okay. And, you know, the system that we create called church, which is just a bunch of people trying to do what we think we should be doing to please God. You know, we come and sit in rows, we sing a bit, and then we sit down. If you sat down too quickly, you feel bad about it, that you didn't look enthusiastic. And you felt the people next to you were judging you for not looking too enthusiastic. And then you finally get to hear the preach, and all so often what that does, bless the preacher's heart, but they make you feel worse than you were when you came in. And they make you feel you failed dismally to fulfill God's high expectation of you. And you walk out here, and this is meant to do you good. And, you know, you don't have real relationship because you're too busy pretending that you're something you're not. And so you come out there at the end and you think, why the heck did I do that? And they wanted some of my money while I was there. And, and you know, one of the best things that could happen for Dan and for me and for you is to discover who God really is. Because he's been so misrepresented to us. So many people have taken their concept of who they think God is and told us this is what God expects of you, and this is who God is, and this is what God wants you to do. Now, yes, God wants us to be holy, but we can only be holy because of his son's blood. We can't be holy by anything we may do. And I fail every single day to meet up to anything that God might want of me. But I've got to just grab hold of that truth every single day. That his blood is more than enough. His blood is what did it. And you know, in this room is a collection of the most creative, talented, gifted people on the planet. But do you know that most of you will never reach the point that you were meant to get to, because there are too many people around you shouting at you that you can't do this. We almost have created a culture where we are trying to stop anybody from getting ahead of where they should, and certainly not ahead of me. There's a wonderful piece of scripture which has been so misrepresented in the church. It's that scripture from Amos. And it's simply, I'll read it to you. I'll find the right code, I'll get in here. And it's simply this, from Amos 3:3. It's been quoted in the following way. Can two walk together unless they are in agreement? And what that presupposes is we can only walk together if you're in agreement with me, because I'm the leader. But the scripture actually says, two walk together unless they have agreed to do so. And that's a very different statement altogether. Because walking together is our decision. Our relationship in the body of Christ, in the church, is not based on whether we can agree with each other. It's based on whether we have chosen to walk together. And you know, in the church are so many people who have to die to what God's put inside them because it's unacceptable to have your own opinion. To have an opinion different from the leadership's opinion is disqualifying. To have an opinion differently from your wife's opinion or your husband's opinion is disqualifying. But Jesus intended that this would be a family of people who would all be diverse and different, with different insights, different understandings, different gifting. But each one of us have chosen to walk together because we've agreed to do that, not because we agreed with each other. And you see, when we start putting agreement ahead of relationship, we're in deep trouble. And I want to see us undo that so in our lives. That this walk and this relationship that we have with each other, this desire to protect each other and believe the best about each other and see each one in this place achieve their maximum potential can only happen when each one of us make the decision to say, you are safe around me. Your back is so safe to me. Brother, sister, I want you to know nothing will ever cause me to say anything to break you down. I'm going to speak only words of life to you. I'm going to speak words of hope and words of expectation like the Father speaks over you. And you know what? I've always believed that people flourish in an environment of positive expectation. And I believe that they wither in the reverse. And so I don't want to see all these amazing gifts that are sitting in this room eventually when you get to my age and you just didn't do anything with it because there never was the opportunity. Because the church, which is the one place you should have had the opportunity to fulfill the gifting that God gave you, the church was the one place that stopped you and said, you can't do this because Father's displeased with you. Until you can come into agreement with me, you will achieve nothing in this place. If you don't like it, go somewhere else where you can fulfill your potential. And guys, you know, over these 9 years, I've probably made more mistakes than most people. I've probably said more things to more people that I would deeply regret today because I didn't have this revelation when I started this journey. And I could never apologize to everybody, except I can blanket apologize to everybody. And I can say, I'm so sorry for the times that out of my own brokenness and my own lack of understanding of my Father's love for me, that I wasn't able to lift you up, but that I saw you as a threat or I saw you as somebody who was going to damage my life. So I had to keep you at a distance so that you wouldn't hurt me. But I have to risk that and you have to risk that. You have to risk me and I have to risk you. And so at the end of the day, we're all different here. And I want you to say something to you this morning, this evening. It's okay for you to be different than me. It's okay. It's so good that you've got a different insight of eschatology. It's so good that you've got a different insight and understanding of grace. It's so good that you've got a different understanding of holiness. It's good. If you get into heresy, we'll help you. But for us to say there's only one understanding that's acceptable here, and if you don't have my understanding, you don't matter, is wrong. And it can never happen in the body of Christ. But just think what would happen if we decided to value and uplift and uphold one another and believe the best about each other and encourage each other to go the highest we possibly can. And somebody comes up like JJ comes up and says, hey, I've got somebody I want to teach on eschatology. And he teaches something which, yeah, it's good, but it's not exactly what I believe. Does that disqualify him? No, it just makes me think. It's okay to think. We're allowed to think in the body of Christ because Father gave us a brain. We're allowed to do that. But for too long, we've said, everybody, you can't think. You're all going to live in straight lines and do what I say as the leader because I'm the one who hears from God and interprets God to you. And if I don't tell you what God says, you don't know anything. But I'm here to lift you up and help you to get there. There are too many people squirming with guilt and senses of worthlessness and senses of unfulfilled desire to be loved and accepted. Because the church has done that. The expression of Jesus Christ has done that. And we have so defended our doctrines and so defended our position of what we think this is all about. Because we are so threatened that somebody may come up with something different from what I think. The fundamental truths are the fundamental truths, and that's all we have. All we have to have in common. The rest is up to you. So tonight I want to set you free. I want to set you free to be who you are. I don't want to judge anybody here. I don't want anybody to judge me, and I don't want anybody to judge each other here in this place. If somebody wants to sit down in the worship, that's their choice. If somebody wants to stand on their head in the middle of the floor, that's their choice. But it's not for me to tell you what you can and can't do. All I want is to encourage you to reach the one who loves you and finds you so beautiful. I don't entirely agree that America's got better scenery than England, but we'll differ on that one because I'm allowed a different opinion. But seriously, if at the end of the day when you walk out here, you do not walk out having encountered the one who loves you so much that he died for you, then we haven't achieved what we're here to do. We just missed it. We just didn't do it. If you walked out here feeling that you didn't measure up and you didn't encounter anybody who loved you and you didn't even find that love through anybody in this place, then we missed the point. And that's not what we're here to do. This is the place where life should get healed. This is the place where the baggage of the past that has taken me 9 years to get out of, and I'm still on the journey. This is the place where that needs to be undone. This is the place where you are regarded as special, significant, and amazing. I mean, how many people think Danny is beautiful in the natural sense? That was a bad example. How many people think I'm beautiful? Oh, that had less. Okay, now, even I'm seen as by the Father as beautiful, so it's okay. So I want you to do something for me. Oh, I want to encourage you to do something tonight. I'm going to ask you to turn to the person next to you. And if somebody's on the end of the row, they might be left out. Have a look around, see who's left out. And I want you to say to them, if you can, it's hard if you're a bloke next to you, but because my Father thinks you're beautiful, I think you're beautiful too. And I dare not think differently than my Father. So it's easy if you've got your wife next to you. That's brilliant. But it might be more challenging when you've got a telephone over there. So just do that. Just find somebody and say, your Father thinks you're beautiful. So I've got to agree with your Father.